This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is DCR.
Aaron Rodgers.
Culture built brick by brick. It's built by the people.
What is he saying?
Mark Murphy and Brian Gutekunst lost sight of the fact that this franchise wouldn't be where it's at if it wasn't for the way that I play the quarterback position.
Trying to win him in this team a championship.
Go get him, Julio Jones.
Could I make a suggestion? They want Aaron Rodgers to stay in Green Bay. I trade for Julio Jones.
Dave did just say that.
I just said that. Yeah.
I glossed right over it.
And then you have this great idea.
Rico, you can't walk that one back, man.
Trust the speakers. Trust them. Listen through them.
This is DCR on 98.7 ESPN.
I can't even believe you. I'm completely unhappy with you at the moment. Taking my take.
You'll recognize my genius when I'm gone.
Please, stop it. First of all, where are you going?
No, when I leave in September, you'll recognize my genius. You'll realize,
please.
Those shows where I'm kind of in a little bit of a... in a mood, people are tweeting that you're in a
today.
Bad mood.
I've been phenomenal today.
Your guy Hinkie Haynes is, I mean, and this is your biggest supporter, agrees with us. You're in a terrible mood.
I'm
being
not a
nasty
bad mood.
To callers.
No, I have no. You know what? You're confusing nasty with just honest. I don't need every caller to ask, "Hey guys, how you doing?" And you know what? You can disagree with me, but we haven't had it in a while, and it's much better when we don't have that. Much better.
But sometimes you have to temper the honesty a little bit. So you don't hurt people's feelings.
I'm not looking to make great friends. I'm looking to make great radio.
Like your wife asked you, how do I look in this dress? Are you always 100% honest with her?
Better not be.
I better not be.
I try to be. And if it's a negative take, I'll try to sugarcoat it a little bit. But I try.
It's dumb. It's uneducated. It's ignorant. And it's dumb.
I think you should pull a classic Rick DiPietro and deflect.
Yeah, I don't want to give up the meat.
Master deflector.
Yeah, you stand in front of that net. Take away the goalie's eyes, and you deflect things. That's what I do.
Sean Avery.
How do I look in this dress? I prefer the other one.
Well, yeah, I can do. I'm good with that. I can do that. But honestly, I think she always looks beautiful, so it doesn't matter. There's no wrong answer here.
Listen, and you're right. Sherry looks great, in my opinion. Every time I've seen her, she looks fantastic.
She's beautiful.
And why she's with you, the world will. It's like a Tootsie Pop.
The world may never know.
The world may never know.
May never know.
You don't respect me?
This is not nice.
Until we see the video, I'm having a hard time with it.
So she sent me an article last night. Women's lax wins first game ever at Binghamton University, right? And it's a full article. And then it says the birth of the club and its first game success can be attributed to none other than the dedication of Sherry Loeb, a sophomore transfer from Hofstra University, blah, 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 blah. And then it quotes her. It says the most important thing that showed up on the field on Sunday was our team's endurance and our strength to play as a unit, which is great, right? I mean, it's a beautiful article. And then she says this, and I had to call her out on it. I was like, come on, stop it. It's the worst cliche in sports. It quotes her, "We won because as a team, we just wanted it more," Loeb said. And I destroyed her for that, and she got all upset with me.
Why would you destroy her for that?
Because we won because we wanted it more, like Canisius didn't want to win the game?
No, but there's no, time out. There are levels to how much you want it, to levels to desperation. That's like sometimes when you play in, you know, you're up 3-2, playing in a game 6, you'll clearly see there's a more desperate team. One team wants that win more than the other one.
That's a terrible cliche in sports.
You don't think that in that moment that's how she felt? We clearly want it more?
Yeah, and I think that's ridiculous.
Why can't you just, by the way, any relationship to Lisa Loeb?
Not that I know of.
Wow.
Yeah. We won because as a team, we just wanted it more. I see this article, and it's great. I mean, my wife has an article about her. She started the team at Binghamton, which is amazing. Went to Hofstra, scholarship, but no, stop it. We wanted it more. It's ridiculous.
I don't think it's ridiculous. There are games where I could clearly tell that our team wanted it more than the other team. We were willing to do whatever it takes, sacrifice.
Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes.
So it's a bad take by me.
That's a terrible take by you. One of your worst today. Almost as bad as your whole Green Bay Packers trade.
Stop it.
Trust the speakers!
You have to listen to the speakers, my friend.
I was listening to the speakers. I was also listening to you. God, were you boring. I had to pep you up a little bit.
You had to get him going a little bit, Rico?
Yeah, I felt like I was in the middle of an untucked podcast.
you know what? You really are a genius when it comes to deflecting. You embarrass yourself as if you've never done before, and somehow I'm the bad guy.
I listen to that podcast. I want to tuck back in, like into my sheets.
Now I'm getting a text. I'm Dave Rothenberg, and this is Rothenberg.
Shut up! Enough already. It's property of the podcast network. All right, you don't have permission to use it, RJ. Stop using it.
And welcome aboard. I'm Dave Rothenberg, and this is Rothenberg Untucked. Our maiden voyage.
Rico. Fantastic voyage.
It was double overtime in the pouring rain. We wanted it more. I had box of briefs on right now.
Yeah, right.
Ridiculous. And this is why people are sympathetic to me. Because even when you're wrong, you go on the offensive.
I think you've lost the people. I'm just saying.
I'm the man of the people.
He's the Green Bay Packers like organization, Rico.
You've lost the people.
He's lost sight of the people.
Yes. People adore me. DCR 98.7 ESPN presented by Progressive Insurance. Continue along. Go ahead.
Would you go to therapy with me?
Make fun of whatever you want.
I'm not making fun of you. I'm pointing out what the people are saying.
People adore me. Can you imagine if I wasn't on the show with you, how bland this show would be?
How bland it would be?
Oh, God.
Wow, it'd be like a party.
Like when
your parents go away. Oh, my God.
I mean,
like that kind of party.
I make a beautiful joke. Hey, nothing. No recognition. Just moving along. Trying to spice up CMT.
And he gave it to me quickly, so I was very appreciative.
Focused on, I can't believe Michael did that. Stop yourself. Funny joke inserted, nothing. No reaction.
What happened? Michael with what?
He did the whole Mike Malone thing. I said, well, if your last name was Hunt, I would consider
it. It was awful. It was
forced. That's a terrific joke.
You're better than, no, stop it.
That's a terrific joke.
Oh, it was horrendous.
What do you mean?
It was horrendous. I know Canty so well that I know Canty's facial recognition, and Canty is shaking his head like it was horrendous. Chris?
Yeah, Rico. Yes. That was a Julius Randle game one shot.
It was awful.
It clanked off the rim,
That's
bro.
It's too smart for you guys. I get it. I'll dumb it down.
Yeah, it was like a Three Stooges kind of joke. It was awful. All right. So we asked this question earlier. Let's get back to it now. 800-919-3776. More pressure on Thibodeau in game two or Julius Randle in game two?
I don't know. What did you say earlier so I can repeat it?
Yeah, that's what you'll do. You'll just take the same take and recycle it. It's like that butt you have in the car where you recycle the air. That's what you are.
Well, the answer is Julius Randle. The more pressure is on Julius Randle. I mean, I've never seen, like, as good as Tom Thibodeau will coach or can coach, he's not going to go out there and execute the plays and everything else. It's going to be his players. And his best player needs to be Julius Randle. Wasn't in game one. They're going to need him to be in game two.
Yeah, everybody calls him the engine for the team. I mean, your engine stalled in game one. So, I mean, Julius Randle has got to get back right for the Knicks to have a chance to win. But the good news is the Knicks were still competitive, and it came down to a last-second possession from the Hawks and Trae Young getting that floater in the lane in order for them to beat you. So, I mean, in terms of being able to hang with this team, the Knicks can make it a game even when they don't play their best. So I think that's a good sign for them moving into game two. But they got to make sure that they get a couple of things fixed. Number one, Julius Randle has got to get going. Number two, they got to figure out what they're doing at the starting point guard spot. And number three, and I'm not sure it deserves to be in this order, they got to find a way to slow down Trae Young in that pick and roll. Those are the three things that they have to address if they want to have a different result in game two.
All right, let's go to some of the calls. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Spike in St. Petersburg. Good morning, Spike.
Good morning, guys. I have no issue with either the Knicks or the Lakers winning their next game. It's just a pattern. With the Lakers, you know, Chris, that LeBron in his first game, or I think he's played 260 playoff games, something like the ridiculous amount, and he has a poor record in the first game. The Knicks, with everything that went on, lost by 2 points. It's almost unbearable to think that Randle could have another stinker like that. And Mr. Trae Young will forever, like Dennis Poffman, be scarred every time he puts his floor on the hardwood in the garden.
His floor on the hardwood?
I don't know, Spike. I mean, putting the Lakers, maybe you're more confident in the Knicks than I am, but putting the Lakers in LeBron, now putting LeBron James and the Lakers and the Knicks in the same conversation is how much you trust that they're going to go into game two and win. I might be stretching a little bit.
Look, Look,
there's no pattern, but I get what you're saying. But there's no, but Spike, there's no pattern with the Knicks.
There's no,
like,
I
mean, you just went over
two points.
Yeah, but you just went over that. There's no history of that. LeBron James has a history. There's no history with the Knicks.
In terms, yeah, subjectively, you're right. But they lost by 2 points, and they made a myriad of mistakes.
I know, but Spike, can I take the other route for a minute? Alec Burks is not going to give you that again. Derrick Rose was as good as he can possibly be. And your home, the Garden, was frenetic, and you still lost that game.
And will Reggie Bullock repeat the scenario he had? And will
I will tell you that Julius Randle will be better in game two than
now you're assuming, with saying that stuff, you're assuming that the players on the Hawks that struggled aren't going to be better too.
Yeah.
Like Gallinari's going to shoot that bad tomorrow?
No. No way.
So, I don't know, that haircut, he might.
Well, it's brutal, yeah. But they could play better too.
How do you feel about the Knicks? Do you feel confident in the Knicks?
Yeah, I feel confident in the Knicks. I'm not going to start making comparisons where there's this pattern where the, you know, LeBron James struggles in game one and then because he's feeling things out and wins in game two and say that's similar to what the Knicks do. It's not. There's no pattern to that with the Knicks.
The pattern for the Knicks is being out of the playoffs. For a lot of these guys, this is their first time getting a taste of playoff action. So, yeah, you don't want to drop game one. You didn't want to see that happen, especially a game that was so closely contested and played at a pace that should favor you. So, I mean, you gave away that opportunity. You lost home court advantage, but the series is not over. I think it's going to be a long series. It's probably going to go 6 or 7 games. It's just a matter of Julius Randle being better and getting more production out of your starting lineup on the offensive side. Defensively, I think that this team will figure it out. They have throughout the course of the season. I don't anticipate them being as bad as they were in game one. So I'm optimistic with the Knicks when it comes to this game tomorrow night. I don't know why you wouldn't be if you're a Knicks fan.
Get off to a better start, too. You're
not
going to
do that
start again.
Well, Elfrid Payton being out of the starting lineup will help you get off to a better start, no?
The moment was huge for them, and I think that with the crowd being like that in a fever pitch, you could feel the nerves. I don't think you'll get that game too.
Here's a little nugget for you, and it's not a nugget that I like, but it's a nugget that you should know.
Mm-hmm.
Knicks are 2-10 in games decided by 3 or less points.
Well, that's not great.
That is not great. So no. Close games, not so good. They also have 5 losses this season by 2 points.
What are you bringing this to the table for?
Because, again, I mean, this is good. Close games like this in the postseason, have not been good for the Knicks.
Let's go to Julius in the car. Julius, good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, Dave. Good morning, Chris and Rico. Well, I believe that Omar should be reinstated for a couple of reasons. A great man, Dave Rothenberg, once said he's not here to make fuss, he's here to make great radio. And I believe reinstating Omar would make great radio. Secondly, one thing you guys overlook, which I believe is because of Dave's mood, you guys follow him, is that Omar said his son had a breakdown. That falls within mental health. And I know you three are the biggest defender of mental health when it comes to ESPN staff. And I know reinstating Omar, your producer will concur. And I believe you three need to apologize to Omar and his son.
We should apologize to Omar? Legally.
No shot, Julius.
Oh, yes, come on, Julius.
Yes. No chance.
What a horrible take.
Listen, Chris, you know this. Your child have a breakdown, you will be a mess. You'll be a mess. And you know how quickly kids bounce back. So by him being on the radio 4 o'clock later on another show, shouldn't disqualify him. The man child
it does,
had a
though,
mental breakdown.
It does, though, Julius. How bad was it if he could be on with the K show, but he couldn't be on with us hours earlier?
Listen, the kid bounced back. That's what kids do.
If the kid had a legitimate issue.
I can't go with you on that one.
No, it's a terror. If the kid had a real issue, if the kid was sick, if the kid was failing school, couldn't sleep, fine. The kid was heartbroken because of the Knicks, which is why Omar should have called and said, my kid is right here next to me. He can't sleep, and dealt with a dual call. It was an awful take by Omar. It was a terrible decision, and because of it, he's banned.
Yeah, but why do you think the kid's having breakdowns? Because of the Knicks losing. He's following the footsteps of who?
Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's not a good enough excuse for me. You had to calm him down because they lost.
That's right.
And then we needed you. This is a pattern of behavior. This isn't the first time. If this was the first time that he did it, we could understand. Multiple times this has happened.
He did it with the Bills. He did it with the Knicks. I mean, Alex made himself throw up during March Madness a couple years ago when Villanova lost, and he had them to go the whole way. You think it broke me down? No. You dealt with it. You move on.
Yeah, you deal with the feelings. You tuck him in, and then you do what you need to do, which is show up and give us the raw Omar emotion.
That's right. And you didn't do that. And for that, we'll never forgive you.
Got to answer the bell.
That's right.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Go to Phil in Brooklyn. Good morning, Phil. You're next up on 98.7.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking a call.
Beautiful. Phil, beautiful. Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking the call. No questions, no comments. Move forward. Love it. Go ahead.
So, no, I'm just calling. I called a couple of weeks ago. I don't know if you remember just discussing about how awful Elfrid Payton is. I just want to know if you gave up on him yet.
I think that a lot of people have given up on him.
I think Tibbs gave up on him.
I mean, we'll find out what happens tomorrow.
Yeah.
No, but I had mentioned a couple of weeks ago regarding Frenchie, putting him in for defense, and he just doesn't look as lost. And the fact that Tibbs wants to put him in there with
can you cold. Imagine? Thanks, for the call. The calls are great. How about that? Why should you play Frank Ntilikina? Frank Ntilikina, he doesn't look as lost.
He doesn't
he
look as
French
lost.
He speaks French because he's from France.
I mean, that would be the reason why he gets more burn, right? Just because Alfred Payton's not giving you anything. Feels like Alfred Payton is virtually unplayable. So, I mean, that would be, you know, Frank getting an opportunity by default. And at this point, I don't think it could be any worse. So you see what happens with that. But, I mean, Tibbs is probably going to have to shake up the starting lineup, and he's going to do something that he's resisted all season long, which is put Derrick Rose in the starting unit and break up the bench mob. I don't like it.
I still don't know if that solves your problem, though.
What'd you say?
I still don't know if putting Frank in the starting lineup really solves the issue.
I didn't say Frank in the starting lineup. I said Derrick Rose.
Well, no, but people call it like acting like Alfred Payton has eaten up large chunks of minutes. I mean, he played 4 minutes, and then did he make 4 minutes in the second half?
Yeah, but what's the point in even starting Alfred Payton for 4 minutes if you're going to take him out at that point in the game? Like, what's the point of him even starting?
No, I don't think there is a point. I think that more had to do with it. He rolled with Alfred Payton the entire season. He didn't want to quit on him. Yeah, that was his guy. He owed it to him to at least give him one more chance. But I understand the whole Frank thing, and I think that Frank is someone that could help defensively with Trae Young. I would go into, and maybe it ends up being Derrick Rose. I don't want to put so many minutes on him because I don't think he's capable of that. But there has to be and there's not great options. I get it. When we're sitting here saying like that Frank looks less lost, but you have to find a way early in this game to get Julius, or get the offense going a little bit, like to start off on the right foot offensively.
Then Derrick Rose is your answer.
Yeah.
I just wonder, I worry that if you start Derrick Rose, I mean, you can't play him 40 minutes a game.
Yeah, the problem though, and here's the other thing though, Derrick Rose can't cover Trae Young. He cannot guard Trae Young. So I wouldn't even mind, like in all honesty, I wouldn't mind starting Alec Burks. And do it that way.
I'm not opposed to Alec Burks being a part of the point guard equation. I don't know if the move is to start him, though.
You don't have a great option, and you just have to figure out what the best of all the options is. That's the truth of it. There's not a quick fix. You don't have a great point guard. You don't even have a good point guard.
Well, no, because you need Derrick Rose. You need him he's the one that's going to finish the games. Like him and Alec Burks will finish games. Maybe IQ plays more.
But now I'm going to start Derrick Rose and then take him out at what point? And then who's going to score for me when he comes out of the game?
I guess you're going to have to roll with IQ and Alec Burks.
Well, see, that's the thing, though. You don't want to try to make, one better and then take away from...
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Because now your bench is not what it was.
Well, you just want to... It's almost like you're getting the best out of Derrick Rose now, so you'd hate to screw that up. Right? Like, the bench was awesome in the first game. So you kind of don't want to screw that up, but you really have no great options to start the game.
You're behind the eight ball with this. Jay in Queens, you're next up on 98.7, Jay.
Hey, good morning, guys. Just calling about the Knicks.
Is someone sleeping in your home right now?
I'm sorry?
Is someone fast asleep in your home that you're talking like that?
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, my daughters are just getting up for school. But, yeah, sorry. I said I was calling just, you know, as a Knicks fan, and hopefully they'll bounce back. But I just want to say how unlucky of a break they got with that steal that R.J. Barrett almost had. Ended up hitting Bogdanovich in the chest and knocking down the three. And that's kind of like been the Knicks' luck. But I'm hoping that they'll bounce back, and I think Tibbs and Randle will have a better game, you know, and a better performance. And the crowd knows how important the game is, so hopefully that energy will feed them and we find a way to get a win.
Yeah, the last thing you have to worry about
is
all guys. All right, the crowd is going to be fever pitch again.
Crowd is going to be crazy.
Yeah, every game. You don't have to worry about the crowd being fanatical and crazy.
Well, no, they sense that. I mean, the crowd will sense. I mean, what we're talking about now too is, I mean, going game two, a game that you have to win. You don't think the crowd will feel that urgency? Probably. I would guarantee it's better than game one was.
It's going to be that again. I mean, they're going to be frenzied. They're going to be fanatical. They're crazy.
Especially if they get off to a hot start.
Could you imagine that? They come out and hit like three threes in the first couple minutes.
Yeah, like if Randle has one of those games where you can clearly tell like he's...
Yep, right away from the jump.
Oh, place will go crazy.
Crazy. Keith in the car. Good morning, Keith.
What's going on, guys? First time caller. Hello?
This is you, Dave. This is your baby.
Not me.
This is your
baby.
You're
the one that's supposed to answer the people ask how we're doing.
He didn't ask how we were doing.
This is your baby.
He said, what's going on?
Nope,
this
is your baby. How are you doing?
So that's your baby. You said you're going to handle it, and you made it more awkward than it's ever been. Next thing you'll do be stealing Keith's takes. Go ahead, Keith. You're on 98.7.
So just for clarification, I'm a 26-year-old Nets fan, and... Three summers ago, whatever it was, all I heard was that Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving should go to the New York Knicks and how it would be a big deal if they go to the New York Knicks. And in my 26 years of life, I think the Knicks could be one of the most overrated sports organizations in the world.
Where are you going here?
Yeah, I don't understand where you're going, Keith. Are you upset that we're not talking enough Brooklyn Nets and that you guys can't sell your building without taking 50% off tickets? Is that what you're upset about?
I'm not upset that we're talking about the Nets. I guess I just don't understand it.
Well, you should have said the Knicks are overrated.
It's a Knicks town. I mean, that's what you need to understand.
How are they overrated? Nobody's rating them that great anyway.
Like they're grouped. When they're talked about, I feel like they're talked about with the great organization.
No,
no. Like the Lakers, the
no.
Clippers.
What? No. They're a great brand. They're a huge brand that plays at Madison Square Garden that has an unbelievable fan base. That's what's talked about. No, the only thing that we talk about with the Knicks is how dysfunctional they've been.
Exactly.
We've done that
until
for
this
years.
Year. Yeah.
We've done it for about? How they take Hall of Fame coaches and make them, you know, worse than they've ever been. Larry Brown, Lenny Wilkins. How do you do this?
They've been a dumpster fire. No one's ever praised them.
We talk positively about the Knicks. The
how
first
well
time in 8
run.
Years we've talked positively.
You praise the fan base is what you praise.
Because they're so loyal to this team. What
they love this
call.
Team.
A brutal call.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
I think we've been more than patient, Rick, in not going after Francisco Lindor, and I'm done. Another 0-for-4 last night. Listen to these numbers on the season. He's played 40 games. He has 148 at-bats, so this is not a small sample size at this point. He's hitting 189. He has 3 home runs, 9 RBIs, 7 extra base hits, and has scored 19 runs. I would almost guarantee you could look at any number 2 hitter in all of baseball, and the numbers will be better than what Lindor is putting up. He has been, so far, 40 games, quarter of the season, horrendous.
Yeah, he's been bad, and you want to give him the benefit of the doubt because, again, I mean, he's here for, you know, the next 10 years.
The next decade.
So, I mean, at some point, I mean, you have to root for him because we need him to turn it around.
That's right.
And with the team decimated by injuries the way it's decimated by injuries, at a certain point, my expectation, and I'm sure your expectation and Mets fans' expectations is is he's good enough that he can carry your lineup. And, you know, last night was a good example of that. They end up making it close. No, I mean, offensively, they're not good right now. I mean, it's not
dreadful.
A major league lineup.
Dreadful.
But again, you had a chance last night in the ninth inning. You got a runner on. You're down 3-2. All right? That's a chance. That's an opportunity to do something special.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't do it. Then you had the throw. And if you want to blame Yamamoto for not catching it, but whatever it ends up being, that's a huge play in that game in the loss in Miami. So, listen, I have a hard time not rooting for him because I love all the other stuff he brings to the table. Like, defensively, he's really good. He runs the bases well. He runs hard. He's always got a smile on his face, and he's rooting for his teammates and everything else. But at a certain point, I mean, enough is enough. Like, offensively, I need you to be what you've been in the past. And right now, he is nowhere close to that.
Yeah, for $340 million, I mean, to have the guy batting 189 and having an on-base percentage of 295, like, I just, at this point, like, it's just, I understand, Rico, that you want to root for him because he's going to be one of your guys for the foreseeable future. But I don't have a problem with Mets fans letting them hear their frustration. I don't have a problem with that at all, just because he's supposed to be a lot better, and this is the time where your team really, really needs him to step up. You don't have Pete Alonso. A lot of your pitching staff is decimated. Like, you've got injuries all over the place. Who knows who's playing outfield on any given game? Like, it's just, there are so many other things going on with this team. It's the perfect opportunity for him to be a stabilizing force, and yet he's one of the guys that you're pointing to in the lineup and saying, that's a black hole. Like,
that's what great players
do.
He's
underachieving.
Right?
That's what great players do. Great players, when needed the most, come up big. I mean, he's been here for 40 games. Has he had a moment where you look at it like, oh, that was great? I mean, he's done nothing so far. And
he's had a moment. Like he said, I mean, he said a moment, like not enough moments. I mean, Giancarlo Stanton was booed after his first at bat.
Well, that's silly.
No, exactly right. We said it was silly. But we saw, like, there was a stretch there, 12 games, where Stanton carried the Yankees.
Yeah, you saw it. Yeah.
You saw it.
Yeah.
Like, there's a stretch now with Aaron Judge. I mean, he's helping carry the Yankees. Gleyber Torres is on fire right now. He's helping to carry the Yankees. Like, Lindor needs to, like, that's what you're paying all that money for.
You're supposed to be a superstar. You're supposed to be the best player on this team. Play like it. Play like it, and I'm you know, I didn't have a huge issue when he was booed a few weeks ago, and I would have none now. He's been bad. There's no two ways about it, guys. We're a quarter of the way through the season. He has been bad for the Mets.
Yeah, I don't think there's any. I mean, you're probably underselling it. I mean, he's been awful. He really has been. I mean, you mentioned even his on base percentage.
It's less than 300, Rick.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's tough to take advantage of. I mean, you got to find ways to contribute, right? Like, I mean, the guy can steal bases too. Well, it's tough to steal bases when you're not on base. I mean, you asked where, you know, his numbers would rank as far as number two hitters in Major League Baseball.
It's got to be the worst. It has to be.
His average right now would be, I mean, the Indians' average, second on the order, is 191.
Oh, God.
Wow.
Which is better than Lindor.
Wow.
Which right now, when Lindor is at, is better than
Lindor. And how many home runs do they have out of the two spot?
They currently, in the two spot, have two home runs.
Wow, that's pretty bad, too. And RBIs?
They have 11 RBIs.
Why are you guys doing this to yourselves?
Because
you
his former team.
Fans, why are you doing this to yourselves?
And it's his former team, too. Because, Chris, we were all excited about this. This was the big move. And right now, the two big moves that they made, we haven't seen Carrasco pitch yet.
Nope.
Lindor's been terrible. McCann can't stay behind the plate. Because Nito's been better than him.
Yep.
And it frustrates you. Now, everyone's hurt. I mean, that's not a major league lineup that you're throwing out there.
I mean, DeGrom is back tonight, which hopefully... the thing is, he could go 7 shutout, and he'll leave the game scoreless against the other team.
Well, you know, DeGrom is also bring your own offense. Like, you know, he's probably going to have a multi-hit game to go along with the quality start. But, I mean, yeah, listen, all of the concerns that you guys are outlining are valid, not to mention the fact that you don't trust your manager to be able to push the right buttons, especially under these circumstances with 16 guys on the IL. But glass half full, you guys are in the pole position in the NL East. We'll see how long you can stay there. But, I mean, you are at the top of a very mediocre division.
Do you understand what the Rockies' record on the road coming into the game was?
Yeah, they had
night?
Two wins. They had two wins.
They were 2-17.
Yeah.
And they jumped all over you early in that game.
Well, you couldn't hit. You got dominated.
You can't hit.
You got dominated.
You're not a major league lineup right now. But the one guy that could hit does not hit and has not hit. And I think that's why you're frustrated, because you need him desperately now. And he's done nothing for you.
Well, you realize where you're at? Where you're like, you have James McCann playing first base, who never in his career has played first base, because you have to try to fit. You have to try to get him, who offensively has been bad,
and Nito
in the lineup at the same time.
That's right.
And the guy who can actually play first is in left field.
That's right.
That's how hamstrung
you are. And the one guy that you look at and say, you know what, I need him to produce, to carry the team, to give me a moment, has given you nothing. Has been a disaster since he's been here.
And you got Austin Gomber doing things. He's pitching into the eighth for the first time ever.
Austin Gomber.
It's not good.
No, it's really not. But the Knicks are good. Let's get back to some Knicks calls. 800-919-3776. Omar in East Brunswick. Good morning, Omar. You're on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, guys. I think this is the first time I've called you from this time slot. I listened to you guys ever since you were on early, so this is really cool. You guys have been killing it, by the way. Nice job.
Thank you. This is show 102, I believe. Thank you.
You're welcome. So I just actually want to talk about the Lindor situation in the Mets. I do want to say, though, it is really nice that all this stuff going on and we're still a game up on first place. So there is a shining light, no matter in this situation. So, I do agree. Like, I think Lindor is so, like, butt at the plate. And it's just so confusing because, like, you would think paying him all this money and our lineup being completely injured, you would think he would step up and try to do better. And he probably is, but
I'm sure he's trying to do better. He's not going up and looking to barely get on base.
When Buster only said that when he was watching his practice swings and he was taking like these ridiculous swings, and even A-Rod said something, so he's obviously changing his game. So I don't know, why would he be changing his game and struggling? Well, I don't know why he wouldn't be going back to the way he used to bat. Because clearly he sucks now, and he can't.
I don't think it's necessarily changing. You know what he's done his entire career. I mean, what he's done his entire career is, he's a guy that can hit you, 30 plus home runs. And when you start putting that kind of pressure, people act like it's easy. I'm not making excuses for the guy, but people act like it's easy. I mean, he gets traded to a new team, and all of a sudden he signs a $341 million contract. I mean, that's some added pressure, and you want to go and you want to perform, and you get off to a slow start, so you press, which is the last thing you want to do, and now he's stuck in this awful slump.
Horrendous.
That he's not getting himself out of.
12 home runs and 36 RBIs.
I don't know, like, at some point, this can't be who he is. God forbid this is who he is.
I don't think it is. But that being said, you can be angry at him. And listen, as far as I'm concerned, I think you're well within your right to boo him at this point.
This is some kind of slump he's in, though, isn't it, though, Dave?
It's terrible.
I mean, we're a quarter of the way through the season, and the guy's batting below 200.
200.
At least he plays every game, though.
Is that a good thing, the way he's hitting?
Well, don't tempt it, please. Can we not? I'm going to go there.
Struggle now. At least we're still in first place.
Yeah, but we need him, though. We really need him. Lonnie in Harlem, maybe number one. Good morning, Lonnie.
Hey, good morning, family. I called in to speak about the Islanders last night. I also want to say this. Once you guys know, I don't really watch hockey, but Rico, I watched it last night, and I was Twittering with people, or talking to this guy on Twitter. So I kind of want to say that you guys are kind of like building friendships as well, because I don't know this guy from a hole in the wall, but we were talking all night throughout the whole game. And Rico, what a game, Sorokin! I mean, wow, he was all over the goal, and he had to be. He was awesome, but he had to be though because the Penguins was in the zone entirely too much. Like, I don't know what the Islanders was doing in the first three quarters or in three, whatever they called
them. They called them periods. Yep.
Three periods. There we go. Three periods. But when they came out in those two overtimes,
they came out hungry and they came out ready to finish. And you could tell by in the first overtime that they wasn't allowing the Penguins to stay in the goal as much. And then in the second overtime when Jerry, he stole a pass that the goalie was trying to take out of the zone.
Yeah, and the pizza,
he tapped in it with salt hands. That was beautiful. Now I got two jokes for you, gentlemen. One is about Barry Trotz. Does he not look like Bane when he has on his face mask and the bench? I swear he looks like Bane. Every time they put the camera on him, I think I'm looking at Bane. Also, I have one more joke. It's about, well, Rico, it's all love. It's about Rocco. Did you name Rocco Rocco so when he gets older, he can have a show called Rocco's Modern Life?
Wow. I'm sure he wouldn't mind it.
These are not jokes, by the way. These are just poor observations.
Why do you have to be mean to Lonnie? You just said you had him on hold for 2 hours, and you're going to all of a sudden criticize the poor guy?
But it wasn't funny.
Well, jokes. You take shots. Every comedian, you tell a couple jokes. They don't always land the right way.
But those are not jokes. It's not Barry Trotz funny looks like Bane. Barry Trotz looks like Bane on the bench. That's not a joke.
That's not a joke. No, it's not funny.
And we give it back to you, the people.
I don't understand why you guys want to be mean to Lonnie.
I'm not trying to be mean to Lonnie, but that was not his finest work.
I expect better. Yeah, I mean, you can set the bar where you can walk over it, just call and say any English words, and that's a great call. I'm not like that. I need better than that.
I'm willing to give Lonnie the benefit of the doubt.
You give everybody the benefit of the doubt.
No, not everybody. I'm a better guy than you. It's fine. That's fine.
Steal my takes.
I did not steal your take. I incentivized you to be good on the radio, is what I did.
You stole.
Like a wet blanket.
It was like armed robbery.
Oh, my God.
I mean, the police are probably surrounding your home right now. If guns drawn, you're going to walk up. You're gonna get
my
get
worst
on the floor.
Nightmare. All of a sudden, I woke up and I'm in the middle of an untucked podcast.
Oh, my God. Wow. Don't play it. Iron's wow. Virgin Island. Good morning, Ira.
Hey, Dave. Morning.
Good morning, Ira. How are you? Uh-oh. And now he's gone.
This is what happens when you make calls in the pool.
You think he's calling from the pool?
He's probably mid-swim.
Be great.
This is what happens.
Doing laps, makes the call. He's got some life there, huh? Rich in the Bronx. Let's go, Rich. You're an idiot.
Oh, man, Lonnie, that was funny, man. Good morning, fellas.
It was a terrible call by Lonnie, wasn't it?
Yeah. So what you guys think about benching Bullock and paying for Frank and Alex Burks just to start off the game and keep that bench going with a ball handler?
I'm not benching Bullock.
No?
No. Peyton, fine. I'm not benching Bullock. He had one game. He's been good all year.
He's got good chemistry with Randall, too. Yeah. And he can play good defense.
You can't bench. You can't bench Peyton because he's the ball handler, and you need to sub him for somebody that can handle the ball.
Well, I understand that. But I can bench him for a different guard. But I'm not benching Bullock.
You really need to. I mean, we really need to address. I don't want to start talking about things they need to do in
desperately.
The future. But they desperately.
They got to get a point guard.
They desperately
they have
need
to get a point guard.
I mean, my God. Where's Prigioni when you need him?
Maybe this new kid that they brought in is going to be good.
Who's this?
Lildoza. What do you mean, who's this?
Who?
Oh, God, Dave. Luca Vildoza. All I ask is that you do prep work. That's all I ask.
Chris, you know this guy?
No, I don't.
Yeah.
God, you guys. I can't take it.
You know who they should start playing, though, Chris?
Luca Vildoza?
Yeah, they should start playing him.
Luca Vildoza?
Yeah, get him
from,
in the lineup.
From Argentinian fame? Argentinian?
Trust the speakers! Get him in the lineup. Vildoza.
Okay.
Like
all I ask
right.
is that you
Vildoza
prepare for the
is.
Show. That's it. I mean, it's not a high bar.
Please. RJ, are you familiar with Luca Vildoza?
I don't know everything about him, but I know they recently came to terms with him.
Thank you.
Is he even available to play?
He's an international player, so I know there was some details to be worked out.
He's available to play, but Dibs has said they're going to wait to summer
to develop him. You produce the Knicks pre- and post games, correct?
Correct.
Has Luca Vildoza been brought up on the broadcast?
Just in that he was on the roster, technically, and he's there. He's with the team. He's actually eligible to play, but Thibs has flat out said that we're just going to wait to develop him to the summer.
Let's play.
So
let's
we won't see
him tonight. Let's go with him tonight.
No one said that's start him. I said maybe moving forward he'll be good is what I said.
Maybe he will.
All I ask is that you know who's on the Knicks. That's it.
I never heard of him before. I'm sorry. I never heard of him.
Saved that. I should have saved it for tomorrow then. Stump Rothenberg.
There you go. By tomorrow, I would have learned it. I go through a proper education before Stump Rothenberg. Ira in Staten Island. Good morning, Ira. He's back. Let's see if he's here.
Hey, good morning, Dave. Better connection this time. The Wi-Fi at the outdoor pool is a little shaky. But I heard you guys talking about Rodgers on the way in this morning and earlier in the show. And I get it. Listen, you have to have the star players. The players make the team. But I really do believe it comes back to the organizations. And you look at the Steelers, and you look at the Packers, and I know the Giants haven't had much success lately, and I'm probably leaving out another half a dozen teams. But it's the mindset and the way owners and organizations run their business that really set the tone for the teams. And listen, I'm not saying to disrespect Rodgers and not get, you know, what he deserves, but the bottom line is, you know, one player doesn't build an organization. It's the way the organization sets up the way they run their business. And I got to differ from what you guys were saying.
What do you mean one player? We're not talking about just one random player. We're talking about the quarterback of the team. You saw what one player did to Tampa, didn't you? What did one player do to the Bucs?
I get that. But look at the Packers. Look at the history that the Packers have had.
They've won two championships with two of the greatest quarterbacks of all time in 30 years.
Yeah, but I'm talking way before you were born. The Packers are like the Steelers. They're like, you know, they're homebred teams. And the way they run their business, that's why they've had success. And they've had bad years. I get it. You know, not everybody can win consistently for 50 years. But look at the Packers. Go back to the 30s, 40s, 50s, or 60s when Lombardi was there. You know,
Ira, the game is different now. It's more of a quarterback-driven league. And when you have arguably the most gifted quarterback of all time, you'd want to try to take advantage of what he brings to the table. And Aaron Rodgers' source of frustration is that he sees these other organizations going all in on their quarterbacks and them being able to get to the Super Bowl and being able to compete for championships. He's trying to figure out how to do that, and he doesn't understand why the Packers are resistant to going all in with him, especially with him playing at an MVP level.
No, I get it, and I understand his point, but the only thing I disagree with him, it's just not about him. You take him. If you can't put an offensive line in front of him, how good is Aaron Rodgers going to be?
Well, they already have an offensive line. The point is they have a team that is on the cusp of winning right now.
Exactly.
And if you added a couple more pieces, and you can always go back to your old philosophy. Like, you can take a quick detour because you feel like this is the time we need to win because we only got a couple years left, and then go back to what you're doing. You don't have to change it forever. You just realize, okay, in this moment, we have to win now. We have to take advantage of this moment.
There ain't one Patriots fan that's mad that they traded Jimmy Garoppolo and stayed with Tom Brady those last few years. Not one.
When you have a great player, ride it all the way through with that great player. By the way,
you heard Bill Belichick, too, after it. He said, we went all in. Going into last season, he said, we may not have a great season. We're, you know, cash strapped and everything else because we went all in to win championships.
And they have a year where you pay the price. And they won a championship.
That's right.
God.
And then it's worth anything. Luca Vildoza, by the way, measures 1.91 meters.
He's 6'3", 190.
And checks in at 86 kilograms.
He was the finals MVP. That's all you need to know last year. In Spain.
Yeah. With Baskonia.
Got a lot to prove. And all I said was, maybe he'll be a nice addition.
You want him in the lineup season. Now. Yeah, get him in there.
I didn't say in the lineup now. Stop yourself. Stop. I mean, I take him right now.
91 meters.
It can't be any worse.
Kilograms. Yeah.
It can't be any worse.
I mean, start Frank. He looks less confused.
Yeah, that's
why are you starting Frank?
How
he looks
that?
Less confused.
Could you imagine that? Assistant coaches walk into Thibodeau. We should start Frank. Why? He doesn't look as lost as he once did. You know, it's a great point. Let's get him in there.
Let's start
him tonight. All right, Santa, you have a lot to choose from. Hopefully you did a decent job today with your three stars.
Today's three stars of DCR. Number three.
Making me think you wanted to put in the metric system as a third star there. My God, what are you doing? With Vildoza there,
he wanted information. I'm giving it.
You're
trying to
block
the whole thing.
He measures as that
1.91 meters, 86 kilograms.
I'm sure finding that he's 6'3", which Chris Canty said, is not that difficult.
He's trying to mock us is what he's trying to do because he didn't know who he was.
Trying to mock somebody. I never heard of him. I didn't know he walked the planet until you mentioned it.
Anyway, star number three. Dave, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
I just want to know how you're doing today.
You know what? I will start the show tomorrow, spend 5 minutes. I'll go through everything going on, but I'm not doing it when every single caller calls to ask me what's going on and how I'm doing.
By the way,
I'm not.
I'm sure you noticed I've been playing that drop-all show. Do you know who that is?
No, I'd have to hear it again.
That's Lawrence Taylor! That's Lawrence Taylor!
How are you doing?
Just so you know. Just so you know.
Number two.
I'm going to anger you a little bit more. I was really considering putting Chris's Islanders / Rangers fandom up in here, but I'm actually going to put the sports cliche of wanting it more, as quoted by Sherry Loeb. I don't know why that bothers you so much.
Because it's ridiculous.
That's it?
It's ridiculous. Nobody wants it more. Like, Canisius didn't want the game terribly.
They clearly did not.
Binghamton did not want it more. They just, maybe they got the lucky break. Maybe they came up with the great
good idea. Criticize your wife. Smart.
As Sherry Loeb said, they wanted it more.
Number one.
Number one, great idea from Rick DiPietro.
Could I make a suggestion? They want Aaron Rodgers to stay in Green Bay. I trade for Julio Jones.
Trade Julio Jones to the Packers. Great idea that you came up with, Rick.
I'm done with three stars. I may quit the show. How is Sorokin not the first? What are we doing right now?
Who?
I don't get what we're doing.
Never heard of him.
We didn't mention
how many
Sorokin
meters is
maybe
he?
Like once past the first 2 minutes of the show. You got to give me a little bit more.
Trust the speakers. KJZ has Brian Windhorst right now. And right now for us, it's Rule 76.
No excuses, play like a champion. It's DiPietro, Canty, Rotherberg, and...
Hey, everybody.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.